Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2023 fantasy baseball season. And we wrap up the NL Central with the Pittsburgh Pirates, a fun team. I think it's more fun than most people give credit for. We'll see how this goes. But it'll be interesting for the youth and maybe a non-Brian Reynolds trade. But again, we'll talk about that in a second here. I have a special guest to help me break down the Pirates. You can find him over at rotoballer.com, doing everything, baseball, football, basketball, probably anything else that, you know, you could think of. He'll do it. He's a busy, busy man over there. He's on Twitter at ThunderDanDFS. Dan, how we doing, my friend?
Bubba, thrilled to be here, man. A huge fan of your work and a big fan of this show, and I'm glad to finally make it on. I know I'm like the resident Pittsburgh expert, but not really, though. Like, I hope I'm not too negative about my own team. I have very low expectations, as we kind of get used to in Pittsburgh. But
it'll be fun. I appreciate you joining me. It's been a long time coming. And don't worry about the negativity thing. I had Jeff Erickson on to do the Reds. That was a very negative podcast. Oh, yeah. I just did a Giants preview earlier today. Not the most positive podcast. So I get it. There's just some teams we just have to cover. And that's sure. Just how things go. But before we get started, let everybody know what you got going on at Rotoballer. Because you got, like, I'm not even joking, Dan's got his hand in like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, man. I mean, just like, I do most of the DFS bet. I've been a lot more into sports betting the last 2 years. Nothing against DFS. I still play DFS every day, but I do a lot more sports betting stuff. I'll be doing definitely some baseball betting stuff here coming up. And hopefully Eric Smolsky and I reboot our podcast that we had last year that we did a little bit during baseball, The Learning Curve. And I have my own sports betting Substack too. It's been going strong here since last baseball season. So check that out if you get a chance. A little bit of everything, man. Like, this, things are finally starting to calm down. If you would have talked to me back in like November when it was like baseball was wrapping up, football was midseason, basketball was going strong, but football is at least over. And now NBA is on All-Star break after tonight. So I'm like actually ready to dig in, and like, I know a lot of you all your baseball guys are like already been in it, but I need to like catch up the next week and get myself ready for it, baseball season. So
yeah, it's the perfect time to get ready. Like you said, the All-Star break and everything coming up. So Dan knows his stuff. I ain't worried about that. He'll get caught up pretty quick in that regard. Let's talk some Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's have a little fun here.
Yeah.
And we'll start with like the most exciting guy potentially, and that's O'Neill Cruz. We know everyone, they tell you about the swing and miss with O'Neill Cruz, but improved as the season went on. Yeah. Ridiculous power, ridiculous arm strength, doesn't really help in fantasy. But what's your kind of thoughts on O'Neill Cruz? ADP of around 74 the last few weeks, and it's kind of a risk-reward pick, it feels like.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was just looking at his ADP here, and I was like, wow, he's really up there. But I get it. Like, all the Statcast metrics are, like, just through the roof. Speed, the exit velocity, like, he was, like, just when he does hit the ball, he just absolutely destroys the baseball. And so all the, like, you know, all the metrics are there. Can he make more contact? And if he does, you know, and will they let him steal bases, encourage him to steal bases? All that's kind of up in the air. But I think you're drafting him on his upside there at that point. And if you're someone who doesn't want to take a risk that early, then then don't, because he certainly is risky. Like, he's got a pretty big hole in his swing. He doesn't hit breaking balls real well still. Like, there's reasons to be, again, I don't want to be overly pessimistic as a Pirates fan, but there's a lot, like, certainly is a raw talent, but there's a lot of question marks if he'll take that next step to being more consistent, you know, this season. So
yeah, I'm 100% on board with you, and that's why I've had trouble drafting him at all this early draft season, just because at that price, I kind of feel like I need him to pay off more. But he does have the ceiling where he could blow that price out of the water.
Sure.
If he figures it out, but that's a big if, of course.
Right.
And that's just, I'm not a real risk drafter type situation. So
sure.
I've had problems doing it, so I wouldn't worry about your quote-unquote pessimism here. It's a interesting situation with him. If he can start hitting the off-speed pitches and lefties better, it's more appealing, but
yeah,
I kind of just see it first.
The lefty thing's definitely a problem. His lefty splits were really bad last year. And you know, if he's going to be hitting first, he's going to play every day. Like, he's not just like a platoon guy or anything. You're not going to get around it. He's got to figure out how to, you know, work some counts and just be like a more consistent hitter. He's not facing, you know, these AAA pitchers anymore. But he is a pretty good bad ball hitter too. Like, he's like, kind of reminds me of like a Vladdy Guerrero, where he'll like take one off of his shoes, or he'll hit one of his eyeballs out, which is cool. But you know, today you got to be disciplined too.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch. I don't know if I'll have any shares, but it'll be fun to watch for sure. Let's go to Brian Reynolds here, a stud outfielder, ADP of around 91. We know we expect usually a good batting average. Kind of struggled a bit last year, but you know, the power's been there. Occasional speed. Rumors of a trade. What are your thoughts on Brian Reynolds this season?
I mean, that's a guy who I feel is more safe drafting based on, we've seen him do it now a number of times. He is like the opposite, like probably low risk, low reward, because I don't know that you're going to get much more ceiling out of him there, right? But mm-hmm. you're going to get, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get some steals. You're going to get good average, a switch hitter, you know, so he's never, you can always spin around and have the platoon advantage. And then if he does get a trade out of there, I don't know. We're all speculating then. He could land somewhere in a better lineup with more lineup protection and maybe a better home park too for, you know, for power and stuff. So I do like Brian Reynolds. I'm kind of a fanboy of his. I'm very bummed that he's leaving Pittsburgh, but yeah, he's, to me, he's a pretty safe, he's kind of the opposite of O'Neill Cruz. He's a very safe pick there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like the batting average has to bounce back a bit. So yeah. If that bounces back with the power, like you said, if he relocates, you'd no offense to the Pirates, probably a better team, like you said. So it is a very enticing situation with Brian Reynolds in a big, big way. One of the players I've had a tough time with every year, because I'm just waiting for it to happen, is Cabrian Hayes. And like right now, I'm kind of hesitant. But we saw the 20 steals last year, which mm-hmm. was nice. We still haven't seen the power because it's the ball on the ground so much.
Right.
But what's your thoughts on Cabrian Hayes? Still super young. We know he's talented. It just hasn't all come together yet.
Yeah, he's so toolsy. Like, he's really, he really is. He did battle injuries a lot last year, you know, especially earlier in the year. I think it's hard to really judge him too much until you see him healthy for a full season and what he can put together. So, he's a guy. I mean, looking at his ADP, I think he offers a lot more reward at his price versus like an O'Neill Cruz with a safer floor too, taking him later on in drafts. Yeah, I like him a lot. Like, how often are you going to get 20 steals from a third baseman? I mean, that's a pretty rare combination there. Can hit for average. Hopefully they can piece some guys around. It's nice that they got, we'll talk about McCutcheon here in a minute, but it's nice they got a couple other respectable hitters around him, perhaps to give him a little bit of lineup protection, as opposed to at times last year, their lineup looked like, what, like a double-A lineup at some time? It was embarrassingly bad. I mean, at least the projected starting lineup is like a real lineup. It's not like mm-hmm. great hitters, but it's better than them rolling out like literally minor league guys every night. So, yeah, I really do like Brian Hayes. I think he's a guy that's definitely worth a shot.
Yeah, that ADP of 170 over the last couple of weeks, it's like what we paid for him in recent years. And we were both kind of saying it's he's so close, it feels like, to finally hitting that potential where a lot of prospect analysts were saying this could be a 2020 dude.
Yeah.
He hasn't found the power yet. It's always on the ground. And we saw the steals. Now, like, is this the year? Are we getting closer to the year? Like, can you give us 15, 20? Like, it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, like a post-type breakout kind of thing for him. He, mm-hmm. yeah, and people are going to bail on him because he burned him last year or whatever. I think I'm in on him at that AP for sure.
Yeah, I'm starting to become more and more interested. That's for sure, especially with the way third base gets nasty.
Yeah,
nasty for sure.
Right.
You mentioned Kutch. I love this move for many reasons. It's just a baseball nostalgia thing, like coming back to Pittsburgh. I still think he's got a little bit of fun in him. Like, there was a tweet even today where Kutch, like, he's strolling with the gold and black on, talking and stuff, and ADP of 324. He still played in 134 games and hit 17 bombs last year, so there's still something left in the tank for the 36-year-old. What's your thoughts on Kutch coming into 2023?
Yeah, I mean, as far as non-fantasy storyline, like, it's a great thing that he's coming home. He's gonna help sell some tickets. I think that's more than anything, that was the move to bring in some positive PR for the organization and bring in a veteran leader who can mentor some of these younger guys, give Kutch a chance to finish out his career, kind of where he started it. And so, like, non-fantasy stuff, great, great stuff. Love it. Fantasy-wise, I mean, what are you doing at that ADP? You're like, you're not all that invested in him. So why not? And I think he will play a lot. Like, as long as his health holds up, it's not like they're going to platoon him or bench him. Maybe he's going to get a rest day here and there, but he's going to play. They don't have anybody better, right? I mean, he's going to hit fifth or whatever, fourth, fifth, and he'll have some chances. Not a great park for right-handed power. We know that. But you know, he's at this point, he's not like hitting 30 bombs anyways. He's going to hit some doubles and maybe 15, 16, 17 homers. So, if you grab him late, go for it. I don't see a problem with that.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that's where I've been. I've been taking him late in a lot of my drafts and hold leagues and everything, just hoping he plays, because I think he will unless he gets hurt, like you're saying. So enjoy one more good hurrah from
McCutchen
and have some fun with that. I'm not going to compare this to McCutchen, but it's another veteran that hit 19 home runs last year, hit 202. I don't see him to be that bad of a hitter, but it's been bad for three straight years. Carlos Santana's ADP is way outside 400. Is there any fantasy relevance here, or am I just like on pure speculation?
Yeah, I've seen people throwing his name around, and I suppose they have Choi now too, but like they can DH one of those guys and they can play the other one at first. If he's gonna play every day, and it is a short porch in right field, is he gonna maybe bounce back with some homer? I mean, he's always been a guy with good plate discipline, walks a lot. But I don't know. I don't know if I see a ton of upside there. It's just it's tough to get too excited about it, because like it kind of feels like one of those moves where the Pirates just bring in a guy who is going to fill the spot, right? A name everybody knows. He's just there filling a spot in the lineup. I don't think he has a ton of upside, but you could do worse. You could do worse down that range, I guess, and, you know, late in drafts.
A few other guys I didn't put on the outline, but if you have any interest in any of them, let me know. Like, there's G-Man Choi, Jake Sawinski, Rodolfo Castro. Anybody else that could potentially, Cal Mitchell in the outfield, anybody that stands out as maybe a fantasy dart somewhere, or we kind of already hit the main targets here in Pittsburgh?
I mean, it gets pretty thin down there. I'm definitely out on Choi. I'm not a big Choi guy. Cal Mitchell is really, it's a minor league talent kind of guy. Rodolfo Castro, I mean, Castro's got opportunity now with like Newman gone, and is going to play, and had a little pop in his bat. He's like a guy to at least have on your radar, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe late in drafts or like a, you know, keep your eye on if he's on waivers the first few weeks, see what he does. He certainly should be on your radar, I think. I don't know that you have to invest in him. But, are we going to talk about Andy Rodriguez at all? Because that's a guy I think, I just don't know what the organization's going to do with him, because he's a guy I do think you could be excited about if he gets an early call up.
Yeah, I was really bummed when they went and signed Austin Hedges because that's just a veteran to get in his way, and they have Clevin Pilecki. It feels like they're just waiting to for service time with Indy, because I love Indy. I've talked about him way back when I was bored in December.
Yeah,
as a guy that has super talented hit tools, just can he get playing time? So what are you hearing? What are your thoughts in Pittsburgh on the Indy hype train?
Well, I was asking some of my buddies who are Pittsburgh baseball guys, and I don't know that anyone's all that excited about it, because I think everyone just thinks the organization's going to screw it up and not play the service time game and all that stuff that they tend to do. But gosh, if they brought him up, I mean, he doesn't have to catch, right? He can play in the field. As a pure baseball sense, it would make sense to bring him up and use him. He's clearly one of the best hitters in the organization. I don't know that they're going to do that. I know that, if they struggle early, right, or if Hedges doesn't do anything, and Pilecki, those guys are just, right, they're just placeholders. Yeah. I mean, if he gets a call-up and gets a chance to play every day, he certainly is going to be worth it. I don't know that you can invest in him in drafts with that being the assumption, because just you can't count on the Pirates to – I mean, how long did they take to bring O'Neill Cruz up? That was driving people crazy, right?
Yep, 100%. Yeah, and I was hoping Indy would get the chance, just like we thought Cruz would get the chance. That's a great comp, right? And we'll probably have to get stuck with the same, I guess, conundrum.
Yeah,
for most of the season. But when he does get called up, it's going to be a fun run for what we've seen with him so far. So, 100% on board with you on that one. Let's head to the mound. Let's talk about one of your fun arms here, and Ronzi Contreras, who we saw a lot to like, but also I guess a few concerns. ADP of 288 right now, but the biggest thing is the walks with Ronzi is the control.
Yep.
What are you thinking about this kid? He's still 23 years old, and he looks like, you know, could have a good run at it this year.
Yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. I think you can see when you watch him pitch, you can see that he has the stuff by clearly, and he has some times when he's on and he looks fantastic, and then there's just times where he, like you said, he doesn't have his good stuff. His control's off. He's leaving pitches over the middle. I mean, I'm at that ADP. I'm interested for sure. I think he clearly has some elite talent. I like him a lot. Maybe it's wishful thinking that he's just going to come out and dominate early and be that ace that they need. The guy who actually I think is a little more compelling, right, is probably Mitch Keller, just because you can get him so much cheaper. But I don't know if you want to just segue right into Keller or what you think about.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to mention about Ronzi is he threw 130 innings last year, which is a big plus compared to some of these other young arms.
Yeah.
So I think we can get 150, 160 out of him, which other young arms we can't. So that's intriguing. And my buddy Michael Simeone, he's very, very high on Contreras. Just if he ever could control, limit the walks, he says the sky's the limit for this kid. So
he's really good.
We'll see. But yeah, Mitch Keller, it's a great point. His ADP is around 360-ish, give or take, over the last couple weeks. Almost 160 innings last year, and sub-4 ERA. People might not understand that he did that. And he seems to keep improving, Dan. So what's your thoughts on him?
So I've been trying to dig into Mitch Keller, because it was we've come full circle with him. He all the hype last year was that he, changed his motion and his arm slot. And he was throwing, 98 or 99, and that was the big deal. But he still was it was straight, still leaving that pitch in the middle, still getting hit. What he did, and we have a lot of smart guys in the industry, right, who break down pitch mix and look at how these pitchers evolve. What he see, he started to throw that sinker, right? And I think he finally clicked with him, that he needs to pitch. Yes, he's got a big arm. Yes, he's good. He can throw hard. But, his four-seam fastball is not a great pitch, right? He throws it hard, but it gets hit hard. So he switched over to that sinker, and that's when he really had, I don't know how he finished out the year, but I'm pretty sure if you look at his splits, second half, he was significantly better, right?
Yes, he was, 100%.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of that had to do with that new pitch mix, him figuring out kind of how to harness his stuff. He doesn't have to strike everybody out, right? Get ground balls, mix in his changeup, his curveball. So that, to me, is compelling, because when a guy figures out how to pitch, right, and he's not just trying to throw all arm and be, a raw talent kind of guy. I mean, that's what you want, right? If you can stay on the mound 100%. And give you 6-7 innings a night, that's why I'm control. I think he, again, a post-type sleeper kind of thing. People are probably tired of Mitch Keller because he's burned him so many times. But he's a guy, I think, maybe figures it out and is more worth the investment in his ADP.
Especially like we forget, or some people might forget, you know, his second round pick in 2016. So
right.
Like, very hyped up. He's only 27, still super young. He's figuring it out. You said he's learning how to pitch, which a lot of these young kids just like to throw.
Right.
So it is very intriguing to see where that goes. And I'll keep taking – I always take flyers on Keller because I guess I'm a stupid believer, but it started to pay off last year. So I'm ready to go back to battle with that one yet again. You guys picked up Rich Hill. I know it's not a sexy name by
Dick
any
Mountain.
Means. Big Dick Mountain got picked up by the Pirates. He's already interviewing the curmudgeonal man, which I love talking about.
I saw your tweet. Oh, my God.
It was so glorious. It was hilarious. So glorious. Like, the first interview he has, he's already, like, talking about the MLB screwing things up. I'm like, yep, get off my lawn. He's in Pittsburgh. This is great. And I love it from him. Like, certain guys I can take it from, he's one of them. What's your thoughts, though? Like, is there fantasy relevance? We know, like, when he's on, he's good, but it's a health thing with him. He's the blister guy. There's so many questions with Rich Hill.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to be anything that you want to mess around with in terms of fantasy. I think it's kind of at first I reacted like most Pittsburgh fans, like, oh, great, we signed a 42-year-old pitcher who's washed, like, throws 86, like, wow. But you know what? He's fine. He's going to give them innings. He's going to be that guy. They needed a left-handed arm. And there's worse places that pitch than PNC for a fly ball left-handed pitcher. I mean, he's got that big left field. So I think he'll be serviceable. I don't think he's going to, you know, I don't think he's going to be anything that you can really bank on. And the Pirates used to be known for bringing in guys, retreads, and kind of cleaning them up and fixing them up. And they did that with A.J. Burnett and Frankie Liriano back in the, you know, 2015, 16. They're not doing, I don't think their reputation is gone for that. Like, they've, if anything, have kind of been the place now that pitchers leave and have more success because they, you know, we saw that with Gerrit Cole and Joe, I don't want to name all of them, Joe Musgrove. You know, Charlie Morton, every one of these guys. But so Rich Hill's just putting in time, eating innings. I can't imagine that you really want to give him any kind of look for fantasy purposes. But hey, I mean, it could be worse, right? I think it's one of those things where he's just going to be a nice bridge guy, right?
Maybe a streamer from time to time, probably.
But yeah, maybe a streamer.
Definitely not a drafter. That's for sure. I do want to ask you about JT Brubaker because he was definitely streamable at times last year. He also got lit up at times last year, shown by the barely sub 5 ERA he came up with. But he always had strikeout stuff. So it was one of those, like, when he was on, it was interesting. When he was off, it was ugly. How are we looking at a guy like JT Brubaker going into this season as he enters? He's now going to be 29 this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was really interesting. Unless he has some kind of total... We talked about the Mitch Keller thing with like a new pitch mix and like a new rebirth. Unless he has a total change of a pitch mix and that, I don't really see him having a whole ton of upside. He did have some K stuff because, you know, he throws hard and he can get on, but he, to me, doesn't have that real strong secondary pitch. He doesn't really have a great breaking ball out pitch. It's like, you know, fastball, sinker, slider. I don't know. He doesn't really stand out to me as a guy unless at this late in his career, like 29, like kind of is who he is, has home run problems. I know you can get him pretty late. He's basically free.
Yeah.
But I think my expectations from him are very low. I don't think he's also just kind of a placeholder until they can get some younger arms up.
I wasn't going to bring him up, but did you want to talk about Vinny V or you just want to move on to the bullpen?
I mean, I don't know. Cause are we really going to, how long is he going to be in the rotation? I don't. Yeah. I'm not in on him at all. When they signed him, I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'd prefer the Rich Hill signing to that. To me, he's toast. He's just hasn't been good in so long, and I don't think there's anything to look at there.
100% with you on that one. Yeah. Well, head to the bullpen real quick here, and you got David Bednar, who ADP of 104, like the 11th or 12th reliever off the board. Dude's filthy. Very, very good stuff. High leverage type pitcher / closer. For the Pirates, might get traded again this year. Who knows? So what's your thoughts on Bednar? And if something were to happen with him, who would you see out of the bullpen kind of being the next guy up?
Yeah, great question. I mean, to me, you say he's 11th or 12th pitcher off the board. Relief pitcher off the board. I mean, that's awesome. I would definitely be grabbing him there. I know, you know, there's usually a run on relievers there right around the same time. And if you end up with Bednar because the top, you know, crop of guys all go, I think you're pretty happy with that. Now, you know, do you think the Pirates are going to win enough games for him to have enough saves and rack up saves? I mean, that's always the question, right? If, in terms of them being able to be competitive and win games. But as far as him and what he's able to do and his own stats and, you know, ERA, whip, all that stuff. Yeah. He's a stud. I like him. I like taking him there. Things do get interesting though, if they end up moving him, right? Like you're trying to figure out who would be the guy who would then close. I don't know. I mean, I know they like De Los Santos. They like him a lot. I don't know if he'd be the next guy. I'm trying to look through here. Like these guys they're all kind of like the same. A lot of them are kind of the same guy.
I feel like Will Crow got a couple chances last year, but he's not the dude.
No.
Like Jarlin Garcia got chances with the Giants. I wouldn't do that again. Like I thought De Los Santos with you as well. That's who I was taking even last year as a spec guy.
Right.
But and he's filthy if you look at his numbers.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, he's also the youngest of that group too. He's 25. You know, you're talking about Will Crow is like a converted starter, 28, like, you know, doesn't really have that dominant closer stuff. They brought in Stevenson. I mean, I think De Los Santos is probably the guy if you want to speculate on who's the setup man and who's the other kind of higher leverage guy. As far as the righty, I know they got, you know, Hernandez and Garcia as the lefties. So yeah, I mean, but then again, I mean, maybe Bender sticks around and you just hang on to him and he produces all year. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be a trade guy or not. We'll have to see what the market's like. It's hard to know what's gonna be like in July as far as the market for closers and all that.
For sure. Last thing I got for you, and it's probably a tough one right here, but besides Indy Rodriguez, is there any buzz by some young guys in the minors? Like I know like Travis Swaggerty got a chance last year. Not sure what to expect there. You got a couple maybe other outfielders. You mentioned some young pitchers that maybe are coming up sooner or later. What are the outlooks on maybe some young guys in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so I mean, Swaggerty did some stuff last year. I didn't mind him. Yeah, he had some tools. He's kind of a toolsy guy with speed, with a little bit of power. You know, Henry Davis is like the other big prospect, but I think he's still a full year away, and they're certainly not going to rush him. He battled some injuries and stuff too, so I think he's got a whole nother year to kind of get seasoned at Double A, Triple A. Pitching is interesting because, you know, there's not really that one guy that, I don't know if maybe you have an opinion here, but there's not really that one guy that stands out as like the next big prospect to come up for me at least.
No, I have nobody here. It's a smorgasbord for me of like at least the top three.
Yeah, right. So you're looking at these guys and you're just like, probably have to wait and see which of them actually do anything in the minors this year, because they're all just guys who they're all hoping, the organization is hoping someone emerges, a couple of them emerge and show something, right, at Double A, Triple A to even warrant, you know, that promotion. I mean, that's why Rich Hill and freaking Brubaker and Vinny Velasquez are in the rotation. Like, they don't even have guys that they're ready to start out at, you know, in camp, ready to say, hey, we want to start you at the major league level this year. So it's kind of gets dicey. It's kind of just a dart throw down there, honestly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, like, I'm just looking at roster resource here, and they have a bunch of them coming to camp. So that's interesting to see, give them some experience. But, like, you look at your top three potential pitching prospects: Yoan Oviedo, Luis Ortiz, Mike Burrows. And you look at projections, 4.4 ERA, 4.39, 4.41, 88 innings, 81 innings, 67 innings. So it's just like, even the projections, like, we have no idea.
Right. I'm looking at it too. I'm looking at the same thing, and I'm like, which one of these guys has upside? But all of them are kind of like, none of them are like super young, right?
That's why it's like you said, whoever can get off to a good start at AAA, you're getting the first call.
Yeah, right. That's kind of how I'm thinking too. I mean, and I don't know, maybe someone does take a big step and emerges, but it's a little bit, I do like the fact that they're stocked up on some hitters and coming up, and that's pretty exciting for the organization. But pitching is kind of looks bleak unless some of these guys emerge this year. There's not a lot of buzz about the next, you know, the next big arm coming up. It's very much a question mark.
Yeah, like you got a lot of potential prospects if you like you believe in prospect rankings, but they are all a bit away, as you're saying. Like even Peguero at second base and shortstop, maybe he gets a shot at something, but I wouldn't even think too much with that. So Yeah, I think we got another year or so before the prospects come up. Because like you got Nick Gonzalez, that'll be a fun one. And
yeah,
but I don't even think he's coming up yet this year.
No,
he kind of struggled at the AFL when I was over there. So yeah,
yeah, he's like a year away. I mean, like you said, that the next big crop of guys are almost like a full. I mean, and they're pretty loaded. They're pretty loaded in the lower levels, but like they're kind of stuck right now, coming through the single A, triple A, or single A, double A kind of channel. But triple A is just this kind of hodgepodge of like. And you hate to say it, but like a bunch of guys that are just kind of hanging out as placeholders there until that next wave of guys comes through. Maybe they'll make some trades with Reynolds and others guys and stock up on some prospects. That'd be kind of cool since they clearly are rebuilding. But who knows?
Yeah, they're close because at least they're doing it not the right way, but close to the right way. Because when you sign the Rich Hills, the Velasquezes, the Santanas, these guys, like, they're just old dudes to place fill until your prospects show up. So they're at least kind of doing it. They're not like locking up big contracts, which is good to see. Question I have for you: who finishes with the worst record, the Pirates or the Reds? You can keep your Homer hat on if you want. I don't care.
I mean, I'll be honest, the Reds are in trouble too. Like pretty bad trouble. I like what the Bucks are doing to an extent. I just think we get this very conditioned response to Pittsburgh. Like they're ready for the Pittsburgh because they've made so many big bad trades and front office blunders that they're waiting for them to make a really bad trade or a bad decision or sell Brian Reynolds for peanuts or whatever. Like it's just kind of like what you're used to doing. But if they don't, right, if they can get some value out of these last few guys and get some of these clearly talented minor, like they could be like a Tampa Bay type team in a couple of years where they have, you know, a decent amount of young guys and they make some noise. I'm not going to say they contend or anything like that, but that they're respectable, like that they're an actual respectable baseball team that you would pay money to go see and not, you know, there's a clip I watched last year of this they're playing Boston and the Boston announcers were like, I haven't even heard of this guy before. They were like going down the roster and they were like, is this even a major league team? Like they were being jerks about it. But I mean, it's true.
It's true.
And by the end of the year, it was literally guys who even baseball guys didn't know who they were. Like who Cal Mitchell, like people were like, who was the outfield was all prospects and not prospects, just minor league guys who aren't even prospects. Jack Sawinski sucks. Like he's not good. He hit a bunch of home runs last year, but he's terrible. He's not going to do anything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And like, you know, we do DFS every day. And you're sitting there going, okay, who's pitching against the Pirates today in Pittsburgh? Yep. Even that's even the best spot. Like it's in Pittsburgh. Let's go. Like you're on. I don't care how much it cost.
Yep.
You're in.
Yeah, those K props, man. Like you know me and K props. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I got to do it against my own team. Like 10 strikeouts is coming. You know what is coming. But maybe it'll be a little bit better this year with Kutch in there.
And I think Kutch can help a lot. Santana maybe teaches some plate discipline to the kids. Right. Like that's why I'm hoping that's what some of these like. I'm always like an optimist as a base like guy that played baseball so much. Is you bring these guys in and like I say, have these young kids sit in the dugout next to this guy. Like they need to just sit here and soak everything up. That should be the goal. We'll see if that's actually happening or not. So,
right, and too many of those young guys in there at the same time are just like, hey, out there trying to outswing each other and then gets ugly real fast. But yeah, I mean, my expectations are tempered, but I think there's a lot of reason to think they'll be better, although you know the bar is very low. They'll be better if they can stay healthy and you know these guys perform pretty, and some of those young guys take that step, like we talked about Hayes and maybe Mitch Keller and Ronzi and those guys and Cruz. If they take any kind of steps, I think they'll be competitive and they'll at least, you know, won't be the scourge of the league. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins more games than the Reds because I hate the Reds.
Love it. That's why I wanted to get a little spark at the end there.
Potentially favorite Pittsburgh Pirate moment of my lifetime is probably watching the Russell Martin home run off Johnny Cueto after he dropped the ball.
Dropped the ball.
Against the Reds. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I hate the Reds, so I'm going to say Pirates.
There you go. Love it. Love it. And on that note, we will wrap it up there, my friend. Before I head out, remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, check me out. I'm at ThunderDanDFS on Twitter. You can link to my Substack there if you do any kind of betting stuff. I'm covering the NBA here for the rest of the year, and then we'll be doing some baseball betting too. And like I said, K-props are probably my favorite one. And yeah, check me out anytime. Always putting some stuff out there. And thanks again, Bubba, for having me on, man. I was thrilled to make it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll do it again sometime. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time. This was the Pittsburgh part made it easy, but we'll get you on here. again, and we'll talk some fantasy baseball and have some fun with it. But make sure you guys check out Dan on Twitter at ThunderDanDFS. Sharp, sharp mind. He was the 2021 FSWA Basketball Writer of the Year. What are you nominated? I know you have at least one nomination this year. What are you nominated for this year?
Nothing for this year.
Okay, sorry. That was Eric again, I think.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah. Like, always don't get me started. Yeah, Eric's nominated for everything all the time, but I'm happy for him. He's a good guy, sure guy.
He's a great guy. But yeah, check out Dan. Awesome, awesome stuff. If you get an award, you know what you're doing. So check him out, ThunderDan DFS. And this was your Bench with Bubba, Pittsburgh Pirates season preview. Catch y'all later.
For a fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season, test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100. And use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.